Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Lord, by your word and through your Holy Spirit, I'm anointed to hear words that bring wisdom, understanding, insight, revelation, and transformation for my spirit, my soul, my body, and my circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. But I want to just try to help us understand today in this message on stand that God has given us grace to stand. Say, Lord, thank you. I will stand. No matter what comes or what goes, I will stand. The subtopic just says powerful, present, protected, proactive, and praying. I won't touch all those today. When you stand, God helps you be powerful, present, not absent, present, protective, proactive means you don't wait for someone to act on you. You take the action. And praying. Praying wraps everything up. Our first text and only text for today, our main text rather for today, is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. If you can, read with me, if you can read the screen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. And I'll stop there for now. There's more that follows. That last part is our focus today. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. And from there, Apostle Paul goes into a discussion about the armor, the various facets of the Roman soldier armor, and equates that to how we have spiritual blessings and virtues today. So in this series, we're going to talk about strategies and tactics for standing strong in these difficult times. Are these times difficult? Are these strange times, y'all? Well, thank God he'll give us strategies and tactics on how to stand. And so in this text, Paul went on to define parts of an armor. Now, he was giving a sermon illustration. He was a Roman citizen back in the first century. And so he's using what he knew and people knew in his time. He used a soldier's armor. In our day, we might use a military person's, whatever they wear, their outfit for being military people. But Paul used the parts of the armor to illustrate these virtues and concepts of what it means to believers to receive the strength of God. He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then went on to say what that looks like. And so when you look into, we'll just touch on this right now. Paul touched on these items here. He said the waistband of truth. And of course, it holds everything together. You know, when these guys wore the armor, there was something around the waist that held the bottom part up, a place to hang the sword. Of course, nowadays the soldiers have something on their waist to carry all their things they need. I see Titus is here. He's a fireman. Firemen, they get ready. They got everything on they need, you know, to save your life. Amen. And keep themselves protected while they're doing so. Then Paul said, there's a breastplate of righteousness that guards your heart. And we'll delve into all this in our future lessons, not today. Then say your feet shod, or the footwear that takes you into places to share the gospel of peace. You know, God wants you to go places, help people, share the light, share the truth. He said also the shield of faith that wards off every attack of the enemy. Yeah, thank God for the shield, y'all. Yeah. Because the attacks are coming. They come fast and furious. Yeah. Sometimes they come every day. Sometimes they come all day long. See, I need a shield of faith. He said, the helmet of salvation, which gives you assurance that you are in position with God. And so you're saved, you know you're saved, you're redeemed by Christ, and that knowledge helps you have peace. And then he said, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. Which gives you, which empowers you and exercises, which empowers you to exercise the word of God in every situation. That is what the Bible says. Listen, y'all, when you know what the Bible says, what the word says, you can then have a strategy to then know what to do, how to act, what to believe, what, how to interpret things. If you don't know what the Bible says, what the word says, you find yourself, throw your hands up, what do I do? But God gives you strength. So he says the sword of the Spirit. Notice that the armor had all this defensive armament, but then one offensive item was the sword. And that was not to defeat people, but to defeat the things and the circumstances that tried to come and defeat you. Amen? And defend others. And the last thing he said was that all this is covered through prayer, praying for, in the Spirit, praying for others. And so all this armor, all this strategy, all these tactics must be bathed in prayer. Prayer keeps everything together. You believe this? Amen. All right. But today, we're going to talk about this one point that Paul raised. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the topic for today. Say, I will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, one of the advantages of God's strength and being strong in the Lord is that God is consistent. Say consistent. Yeah, God is consistent. And so we get to build on this firm foundation that he's laid that never changes. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your life changes, circumstances change, things go upside down all the time. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say, God is consistent.
God is consistent.
We'll come back to that theme over and over again. We also realize that because of Christ, we're like a ship that's anchored. And that picture shows what we already know. The anchor goes down into the bed, ocean bed, sea bed, lake bed, whatever. And it's supposed to hold that ship or boat in place. And the concept is that we're like a ship on troubled waters. And though we may rock back and forth, if we're anchored, we won't drift away. A lot of folk get in trouble because they are not anchored. They get in a boat and they fall asleep, don't pay attention, and wind up way over somewhere else because there's no anchor. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, he says, verse 19, this hope we have is an anchor for the soul, both sure and reliable, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us. So this anchor we have is anchored in God, in the consistency of God, in the promises of God, in the God whose Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And listen, y'all, in a world of all this turmoil and inconsistency, you need some consistent things in your life. See, I need some consistency. Let me say it this way. Things that are consistent make you stronger. Things that are inconsistent make you weaker. Say that. Things that are consistent make me stronger. And things that are inconsistent make me weaker. Give an example. Let's talk about school. Studies in school. Don't you love school? Didn't you love school? In hindsight, you survived it. It's great. We're in the middle of it. My brain's on fire. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about school is when you're consistent in your studies, you do well. When you're consistent with the assignments and the readings and all that, you pass every test. When you're consistent in all the things they say do, they call you smart. What it was, the secret is, you were consistent. But when students are inconsistent, they struggle. They don't get things done. They don't pass the tests. And so they say, I'm not smart. It's not a matter of being smart. You know, you weren't consistent. Now, we know it later. We know it now, don't we? But looking back, can you see how consistency in every area of life makes you stronger? And God is utterly consistent. And when you're consistent with God, he makes you stronger.
Thank you, Lord.
Because you connect with that anchor. You connect with his power because God is consistent, y'all. Sometimes people look at things that you do and I do and say, oh, wow, he is so gifted and talented. As if stuff just popped out. You know what I'm saying? Come on, y'all. I see, who's here today? I see Kristen Zay, my niece. Hi, Kristen. Now, she is a chemist. She's so gifted and talented. She walked in there and just figured things out. You got to just walked in one day and figured out all the chemistry of the whatever she does, and no problem, easy. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's a lot of work went into learning how these, what the chemistry is, how things work, even on the job. You know, there's school and you learn at school and learn the job.
Amen.
College is not job training. Say amen.
Amen.
It's not at all. You gotta still learn the job. But consistency helps you in every area of life. So let's just say people, he's so gifted, so talented. Your gift and talent, it's kind of like when you have a fireplace, you got kindling wood to start the fire. But it takes work to keep that fire burning. So talent and gifting, yeah, it's a spark. But it's the work you put in. The consistency you put in that makes things happen. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
So don't insult somebody by just saying, oh, you're so gifted and talented, as if it just all popped out. Honor people for the work they've put in. Now, next slide. Let me show you this real quick. Talent is overrated. I've said this for years. You've all heard me say it. Talent is overrated. Working at things is underrated. Makes sense, doesn't it? So don't get it twisted. Thank God, God gives us all something to start with. We all know people, talented, gifted, who did not maximize their gifts and talents. Didn't end up doing a whole lot at all. Now, here's an example. Now, my son Jonathan, last weekend, y'all, Jonathan ran a marathon. Let me be clear about that. You give God praise. Let me translate that. He ran 26 miles. I don't want to drive 26 miles someday. Jonathan ran 26 miles marathon. There's the pictures there. He ran the marathon last year. Now, you're going to tell me, oh, you're so gifted and talented. I say, it's Kira. She's done that Iron Woman stuff. She's done that thing where you run and swim and ride a bike. Are you so talented? Just pop out. The thing is, if you don't train for that stuff, you can't do it. The gift and talent, it won't get you very far without that work. What people don't see is the crazy amount of work, the consistency it takes to do something significant. I was going to Starbucks one day. I saw Jonathan running down the canal path. I didn't bother him, you know. He's really training. I was aware of it. And that's what it takes. Consistency. Say consistency.
Consistency.
Whether it's a marathon or a 3K or a 5K, whatever it might be, or whatever it is in your life you want to do, and you're going to do it well, you got to be consistent. Because that's part of being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God is consistent, y'all. If he wasn't, we couldn't be. If he was not consistent, we couldn't do anything significant. Again, things that are consistent make you what?
Stronger.
Things that are inconsistent do what? So you got to evaluate everything in your life, even people sometimes. Because inconsistent people will drag you down. I say it for the West Coast. Inconsistent people. I'm not saying get rid of people. I'm just saying you gotta work things out, y'all. You got things to do. And all some folk want to do is watch TV. You know what I'm saying? You don't have time for watching TV all the time. Amen. Somebody medal it down. That's all right. I get the medal. I get to do that. That's part of my job. Amen. I ain't say no names now. You know, I'm just telling you, evaluate it. Now, if it's your spouse, you're stuck. If your spouse, you know, we got to help each other out, y'all. All right, Genesis chapter 8, look at this. Here's the basis of why I'm saying all this. God set this up way back in the beginning. Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. God said this after the great flood, that he put things in order, set things in motion, and we have these cycles and seasons that do not fail. Because God created everything the way it is now, the way he wanted it to be, to give us a basis where we can get things done. Because if it wasn't for God's consistency, we couldn't get anything done. Let's talk now about the eclipse last Monday. So God's consistency and power is reflected in his creation. I want to use this solar eclipse just as a parable of God's consistency in creation and how it impacts our understanding and appreciation that God has put in place something to help us to be strong and in the power of his might. Again, I mentioned that earlier that there's some talk, people have been saying things about the eclipse and some spiritual talk and all that. Like I told y'all before it happened, if folks try to make this thing spiritual, look at them sideways and don't talk to them again, okay? Because, next slide, the solar eclipse is a shadow. This is amazing. This is a picture from the International Space Station. Last Monday, looking over our region, over where the eclipse was tracking, that the eclipse, y'all know this, just in case the East Coast don't know this, I'm saying East Coast now, okay, that the eclipse is the moon passing between the sun and the earth. It's the moon's shadow on the earth. Y'all knew this, right? Please say yes. 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 Everybody say it. Okay. I saw some news reports in Man on the Street. Where's the eclipse? Oh, it's a. You don't know what the eclipse is? That's an amazing picture though. And so that shadow, as the Earth rotates, the moon's moving. That shadow moved from Texas this year, from Texas through Indiana, Canada, and Maine. This happens. You know, every few years, it happens all the time. We don't get to see it always. The point, though, is the reason there is an eclipse is because of the way God has arranged everything. But here's the amazing part I want to share with you right now. First of all, these scriptures. Here's the context. Don't get spiritual about it. Just here are the two ways to understand things in nature and the heavens and the earth and astro events like the eclipse. Psalm 145, verse 5, read with me. I will meditate on your glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Also, Psalm 19:1, read that one. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, or sky or space, shows his handiwork. That's the point for us, just to get the idea, get the concept. It's the God who did all this. And when you see it, give him the glory. And understand that that same God is helping you and helping me. Yes. Don't try to read into it something deep and weird. And don't do that. Just give God the glory, y'all. Amen. That's all you need to do about that. Now, the amazing thing is that when we give God glory and realize some of the facts about what happened on last Monday, I think it helped you appreciate God more and help him appreciate what he's doing in your life. This next slide, here is a comparison of the sun, the earth, and the moon. Look at that. Look how, now, that little dot there, that dot on the far right, that's our earth. The dot next to it to the left is the moon, one-fifth the size of the earth. Now, the moon, the sun is 400 times wider than the moon. Get your mind around this. This is going to bless you, okay? But from our posture, because how far is the sun from the earth, y'all? Come on now, STEM. This is STEM class now. Come on now. How far is the sun from the earth? 93 million miles. How far is the moon from earth? 200 something. 284,000 miles. So, though the sun is 400 times bigger than the moon, from our position on earth, the sun and the moon are the exact same size. From our perspective on earth, the reason an eclipse can happen, the moon can cover the sun because God arranged it to make it seem like the moon and the sun are the same size. So when eclipse happens, you saw, last slide, please. You see, understand that this is how big the sun is, how small the moon is in comparison. But from our perspective, they're pretty much about the same size. That doesn't happen by chance. You can't get evolution to do that. That wouldn't work in a trillion, jillion, good jillion years. You couldn't get that to work. It's by design. Say by design. I got to speed up here. I got too much. Now, see, I'm kind of a science guy, so I don't want to go too deep in this thing. But it's nice. Now, this next thing I'm going to show you is a video I made, about 2 minutes long. And this shows my pictures of the eclipse and also a perspective of this concept of how we're strong in God in the power of his might. And this is the God who makes you strong. Show the video. You serve a mighty God. Amen. You serve a mighty God. This is the God who empowers you, who orders and arranges all this with the consistency that it can be predicted. It has been predicted for thousands of years. What I learned, and again, I won't go deep here. I put links in my podcast, but I learned that 4,000 years ago, the Babylonians had already made calculations on when the eclipses would occur. They didn't know exactly where they would occur. Because of the consistency of the earth rotates, the moon revolves, everything we have in our view is consistent to the second. And they could calculate. I mean, how do you think that one picture showed that the totality happened at 3:06 p.m. on Monday? And that was our time. The time was different for Dallas and Cleveland, but they knew that more than 50 years ago, the exact time, because God is consistent. And mathematics and science, which, by the way, God is in that too. Natural science is part of God's creation. Amen. That they could calculate. Now, the difference I found out, I got to be brief with this, that the Babylonians could just observe and figure things out and do the math, but they couldn't determine where the eclipse would happen on Earth. But I learned that when back in the 60s, when the Apollo missions occurred and went to the moon, that the Apollo missions 11, 14, and 15, they put reflectors on the moon. And to this day, they reflect lasers from Earth to the moon and back, still doing it all these years. And that gives them exact distance and measurements. Because the moon's orbit is elliptical. It's not perfectly circular. See, I'm getting now. My STEM mind is going crazy, okay? Here's the point, though. And because of that apparatus and satellites and such, now, since that time, they can predict not just when the eclipse will be, but where the shadow will fall on the earth. Amen. The next eclipse that is going to happen in the USA will be in the year 2044. So I'm glad I saw two already. Amen. But the next one you can get to is 2027 in Northern Africa. I'm thinking about going. If y'all know me. Here's the point, though. Same point. God is consistent. Hallelujah. Because of the consistency of God's plan and God's order and God's ways and things he put in place, they can make predictions about where and when eclipses will occur. But here's the point now I'll make to you. None of the mathematical and scientific calculations would work or be reliable without the order that God established in creation. Amen. Nothing works, y'all. Now, they don't recognize that. The scientists know, thank you, God, thank you. They don't recognize that. We understand it, don't we? Without God, you can't have a reliable calculation. You can't figure things out like that. So we come back to our theme again. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Watch this. God's strength and might in your life comes from his consistency, from his word, and from the order he has established in creation. Now, sometimes we think that we become strong by the power of our might. Have you found out that stuff you try to do doesn't work out so good? You figured out, yeah, are you old enough to learn that when you try on your own without God, things don't go so well? But when you are strong in him, in the power of his might, you get a different outcome. Because you're connected to the God who orders everything, even eclipses and orbits and all the rest of that. Now, John chapter 1, verse 1 says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. What are we talking about? Well, verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who was that? Jesus. That's Jesus. Jesus Christ is the creator in the order and plan of God. See, don't get it twisted, y'all. Jesus is not just the baby in the manger and is not, you know, he's not who people say he is. He's who God made him. He is God. God the Son. And so please don't get it Don't let anybody deceive you or diminish to you who Christ, Jesus Christ is the creator.
Yes.
Your creator. Again, it says that all things were made through him, including you, including me. So having Christ in your life connects you to the source. Say, Jesus in my life connects me to the source. Amen. Here's a quote from Miles Monroe, the late Miles Monroe. He said, "The only one who knows all the facts and truth about the product is the manufacturer. Everyone else only has an opinion." I mean, you know, somebody hold up your, let me see a Samsung phone. I'm not going to diss you. Don't be afraid. Okay, all right. Samsung, yeah. So who do you talk to about your Samsung phone? Apple?
No.
Samsung. This is an iPhone. That's Apple. The point is, you talk to manufacturers about the product. You don't talk to other people. And guess who your manufacturer is? Who manufactured you? Who made you? Who made you? Say the name. Say it. Say his name. The man upstairs, say his name.
Jesus.
So you're going to talk to Pookie and him. And now I got two kids named Pookie. I mean, not my kids, you know, Pookie's a, you know, Billy Bob, I'll say, all right. Don't ask your cousin, any of them. Don't ask them folk about you, about your life, your future, your destiny. I mean, thank God for people. But ultimately, because God created you, talk to God. Again, our whole point here is be strong in the Lord, not in somebody's opinion about the Lord.
Right.
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not my might, not your friend's might. Thank God for people.
Amen.
People help us, but put your trust in God.
Yes.
He'll send the right people around you.
Oh, yes.
You trust people. People nowadays, they see you trusting. Ooh. Here I got one. You know that? They'll try to sell you something. Get over on you. You know how this works, don't you? Make you dependent. And then you find out that they were never trying to help me in the first place. Just themselves. Let me finish up here. I thank God. Here's a final slide. I'm going to show you this. The same power that orders the movements of the sun, the earth, and the moon calls this flower. Here's the story behind the flower. Once I left viewing the eclipse, I had my gear, all my stuff, my cameras and things, and packed it all up. My wife was with me and Christine, and we had a great time. And if you saw that thing, it was wonderful, wasn't it? Yeah, I told you I was going to be something. And if you didn't see it, then just come on back 20 years from now. I'll go to Africa in 2027. You can see one, okay? But here's the point, though. I came, packed up, came back from the eclipse and checked on my dad. I see Dad every day, and I go check on him all the time. I went straight to his house, and I drove up, and I saw this flower. This is his driveway. And that is a tulip growing up through the gravel beside his house. Now, I've been seeing it every year for my whole life, seemed like. But I noticed it today because I had just left seeing this magnificent display of God's power and the glory of God and the planet and the moon covering the sun, the corona and all that. Then I saw the fly. I thought, well, this is the same power. It's the same power. The same power that caused the moon and the sun to align caused this little flower to come back every spring and to punch up through the gravel. And that same power causes you to come up. Say the same power. The same power that regulates the heavens and makes the flowers grow and rise up in the spring causes me to come up in my life. Y'all believe that? Give God some praise. Come on, bless him. Bless him. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Whether it's something big or something small, it's still the glory of God manifesting. Father, thank you for this time in the word, for reminding us of what many of us surely know, that you're an awesome God, a great God. But Lord, help us deepen our appreciation of the importance of recognizing your consistency and how you've ordered creation, of which we are one of your creations. And help us, Lord, to give our lives to a place of consistency and foundation in Christ. Help us, Lord, to consult the manufacturer. You are our creator. Give us, Lord, the wisdom, even the good sense, just to know we can do nothing without you, but in you all things are possible. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you were the one who hung on the cross. You gave your life. And because of your sacrifice, we celebrated back on Easter, because you were sacrificed for us and you were buried, but you rose from the dead. You've conquered sin and death and Satan. And you offer to us any person that you've already made in your likeness and image. You offer them the opportunity to come to fullness and completion in their created being. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making us new creations. Thank you, Lord, for touching hearts and minds, letting us reflect on these things we've seen and heard today. And Lord, just keep it very simple. We need to be strong in you and in the power of your might.